On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette walks us through local success at the nation's largest volleyball tournament. She'll also catch us up on the Tin Caps and preview the rest of July. I'll close with notes on Fort Wayne FC, the Fever, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard, and Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette is with us as well. Thanks for being here.
It's so good to be back.
Let's start with volleyball this week. We saw some action in Orlando at the AAU Junior National Volleyball Championships. How did Fort Wayne factor into it?
All right. So I think, first of all, we need to set the scene here. This is, as far as the Guinness Book of World Records is concerned, the biggest volleyball tournament in the world. So off the top of my head, around 6,000 teams, not all playing at the same time and not all in the same division. But this place is massive when you look at a picture of the courts and the convention center where this is held in Orlando. It looks like an airport. So this is just a massive undertaking. One of our local teams from the Empowered Sports Club here in Fort Wayne, their 16s team played in a division of 159 teams, and they went undefeated through their division, played against some teams that they had seen before, lost to in the past. This time, you know, they get the better of them in the finals. So Empowered brought home the national title for their division, which, again, they had to beat out 159 teams to make that happen. And so it was a pretty exciting moment for these kids to get to play in a very, very large scale environment. And they said it was really loud, you know, and their opponent, who was a team from Illinois, had a lot of their other teams from their club there cheering them on. And as one girl said, we had our parents. But they come home with the national title, which is a really exciting way to end the season. And since these players are still pretty young, a really big confidence boost as they head into the rest of their youth club and high school careers.
The Tin Caps are in Cedar Rapids at the moment. It's been a week since play resumed after the All-Star break. How are they holding up?
Yes, so the Tin Caps are 5-5 in their last 10 games. They are currently 14-11 in the second half. They are second in the standings behind West Michigan, but the good news there is that West Michigan has already clinched a playoff berth from the first half. So among teams still in the hunt for a playoff spot, Fort Wayne is in first place. So that's a pretty good place to be. The Tin Caps got a win over the Cedar Rapids Colonels. That was a 4-2 result. Tin Caps right-handed pitcher Garrett Hawkins extended his franchise record of scoreless innings. He earned his seventh save and has now gone 23 innings without giving up a run. So that's a fun little streak to keep our eyes on.
Just a few series left before the season ends. It's hard to believe we're already at this point. So what does the road ahead look like for the Tin Caps?
Well, they are going to finish out this series at Cedar Rapids, and then they're going to come home end the month back here in Fort Wayne against the Great Lakes Loons. Now, if you are planning a visit to the ballpark in the next couple weeks, there are a couple things to think about when you're planning your trip. July 29th is Princess Night. Yes, there are also fireworks. There are a lot of fireworks coming up. July 30th is Paws and Claws. That's for our furrier friends. And then August 1st, Totally 80s Night. So bring your Rubik's Cubes with you to the game. This is going to be your chance. Finally, at least for me, August 3rd is the Manzanas Luchadores. It is our celebration of all things wrestling.
And then in the middle of August, John O'Hurley, Jay Peterman himself from Seinfeld, will be there at Seinfeld Night, which you'll probably find me at as well. So what major events on the sports calendar are you keeping an eye on that are coming up locally?
Yes, so a lot of people probably aren't thinking about it yet, but because we're in the business of previews, I am putting the finishing touches on our Fort Wayne City Swim preview. The Fort Wayne City Swim Meet is going to be that first weekend in August. And so that is a really exciting event for the local swim clubs. All of the kids will dress up according to themes and then find out which pool is the best pool. has the fastest group of swimmers in Fort Wayne. Other than that, we're just getting ready for the high school season because that is coming up before you know it. So it is time to sort of start thinking a little bit about all of our fall high school sports, starting with girls golf all the way through football.
Victoria Jacobson covering all angles of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Fort Wayne FC's playoff run has, sadly, come to an end. After a thrilling overtime victory over Midwest United FC last Friday in Flint, they couldn't get past the Flint City Bucks in the round of 16. Sunday's deciding game was tied at the halfway mark, but the Bucks were able to slip two goals through in the later minutes for the win. So that's a wrap on Fort Wayne FC's 2025 season and their time in USL League 2. The future is bright for this team. Next year, they'll begin play in the more exclusive USL League 1 and open the gates to their new stadium. Can't wait. The Indiana Fever are sitting at 500 after a tough 98-84 loss to the New York Liberty Tuesday. Not the way you want to look coming out of the All-Star break, and Caitlin Clark is still out with that groin injury that kept her out of the weekend's All-Star festivities. The road ahead doesn't get any easier. Tonight they'll host the Vegas Aces, who are also looking to make waves in the second half and get a few wins over 500. That one starts at 7, and it's a Sunday matinee against the Chicago Sky from the Windy City, with tip-off at 3. With the return of Stranger Things due in the fall, the Fever have partnered with the show for special-themed home jerseys. The Fever would, in fact, be Hawkins, Indiana's WNBA team, so this is a fun little thing. The MLB season carries on. We've been following the Detroit Tigers, but they've dropped 9 of their last 10 games, including a sweep to the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are bad. Good teams do go through rough patches, and the Tigers have a remarkably healthy lead in the American League Central. But a good week for, say, the Twins or Guardians could really put things in jeopardy for the Tigers, so they'll have to right the ship soon. My Cubs have claimed the best record in baseball, but the Brewers, who else, are knocking at the door for that and the lead in the National League Central. Cubs have had a pretty easy few months to this point, but the Brewers always find a way to get involved this late in the season. There's always something in this sport, and the Cubs are going to have to buckle down in these final months. They also haven't looked very good this week. They lost 2 of 3 at home to the Royals and 3 of their last 4. The trade deadline is in 8 days, and as of this recording, Wednesday evening, we have not seen any significant movement between teams. Given the way these races are shaking out, I have a feeling things will look awfully different when we check in next week. Personally, I hope the Cubs put a package together to get Eugenio Suarez and one of Zach Gallen or Merrill Kelly, but that's just me. Last time I was this specific about Cubs deadline targets, they got someone else and still won the World Series. So we'll see. And I can't believe it's already here, but football training camps have begun around the NFL. The Colts have a quarterback competition, and it's between two guys I really like. Anthony Richardson has been okay the last couple years, but he's still incredibly young and has a skill set that could develop into something special. He's fighting for that spot against Daniel Jones, who I believe was afflicted by whatever curse affects New York Giants players and is way better than what we saw in his final days there. Remember how he played before the contract? He's a good quarterback. In either case, I think the Colts QB situation will be interesting at the very least. The NFL preseason starts August 7th. They'll take on the Ravens in Baltimore. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.